And she had taken her child to the doctor, and Allison had typhoid fever. And this mama was very concerned. And she needed medication, so I brought the prescription to Leon, and Leon went and had the medicine filled. And the next day, I asked if there was anyone who wanted... Of course, we started praying for her then, but that next day I asked if anyone wanted to have prayer, and her grandmother, Allison's grandmother, was there, and she said, "Can I stand in for my granddaughter?" So we all got around and prayed for Allison. And the next day, she was fever-free. And the next day, she was playing on the swing set at the foundation and has been healthy ever since. So God does answer our prayers in miraculous ways. These are just a few of the examples of prayers that he answered. And I still have many more that I'm praying and asking him for. I have ladies that need healing from emotional pain. We have marriages that are in trouble. These women need an answer for their families, for their children. We have families with financial needs. And then the list goes on. I thank you for praying, and I ask you to continue to pray. And remember, the Lord always answers prayer. This is a few slides from our trips this year. The first one was a quinceañera. We had all these beautiful young ladies that turned 15 in the last 2 years. And we celebrated them, and we do it big. Then we had weddings. This is Romero and Aunt Andrea. And this is Mary Cruz and Rodriguez. And this is Kevin. Some of y'all may know Kevin. But he got married. And his beautiful wife. This is my prayer group when we were praying for Allison. This is an outreach. Each summer mission team that comes does an outreach. And this was one. And this is the food preparation, which is what I'm over for the outreach. We're making up hamburgers. Leon had the pleasure of hanging out with Zach for 2 years. And he baptized Zach. He is a young man from Louisiana who's come with his mother on a summer trip.
You want me to regular mic? Okay. Thank you, Norley. As she said, Zach was a privilege for me. About 2 years ago, I think it was, my first baptism over there was Juan Carlos. I remember when Dean and Charlotte and their family were there. Previously, we were at a little Baptist church, and Juan Carlos said, "I'm not sure if I'm saved." And the pastor said, "Well, we can take care of that right here." And so Juan Carlos got saved, and then as time went on, he finally came to that place he was ready to be baptized. And Robert Harton and I both had the privilege of going to, we normally take a trip to the beach and at the last day of our group, and we were to the beach that day, and we had a pool, and it was my first time I was able to baptize someone over there in El Salvador. And what a joy to see Juan Carlos come from where he was when I first met him to where he was that day, and it just, you know, can't explain the joy it was to see it happen. When Zach came last year, he was kind of the only guy who's, I think, 14 years old, and so, you know, when I'm over there, I just take the group, whoever we got, and you can ask some of the guys here that we just go and we'll construct something, and whatever we're constructing, we just invite them in and act like they know what they're doing, and we help them get to where they know what they're doing and how to use power tools. And it was really good to bond with Zach. And then when his mother asked me this year, said, "Zach wants to be baptized and he'd like for you to do it," and I said, "Wow, what greater joy would it be for me to baptize this young man?" And I didn't, you know, I only met him one summer, you know, for a week. And so I just thank God for that opportunity to baptize Zach. And Norley said Blanca was baptized. That's Juan Carlos's mother. But the neatest part, not only was Blanca baptized, so was her youngest daughter, Katerine. And I just wish you could have been there. And there's a, I think there's a clip on it. But I want you to know, I talked to one to Katarine before she was baptized. I said, do you understand what it means? I really want you to grasp what you're committing to. I said, because, you know, and I explained how, what baptism is, what it represents. When you go under the water, you're burying your old man and you're coming up with a resurrected life in Christ. And I could see on her face, she grabbed that and she said, wow, I'm not sure I'm ready. I said, well, that's good. I said, I just want you to think through it before you, don't go into it without thinking through that. And 2 days later, she came and she was going to the beach with us. She said, I'm ready. I said, praise the Lord. You know, I was rejoicing because she was going. But when she came out of the water, there, this young lady came out and just tears started flowing. And I tell you, there was no greater joy again to see not only her mother and her brother, but now her. You know, and the whole family is being saved. And, you know, that's the impact that ship has had. And so we get to join in. I mean, we're just going to serve them. And but this is the joy I get to have by going and serve. And our part has been a lot of emphasis on the spiritual side, their growth to Bible studies. So me and Norley pour in a lot to that part of that element. And when the groups come, we also get them pulled into it and say, okay, we want you to share in them. Because we get this all the time, but now's your turn. Come on and join in and see what God's doing. And so that's the activity of each group. And we had 4 groups come out this year. Well, more than that, but for the summer we had 4. We had 1 in January and 1 in March. So there's 6 groups all total this year so far that we've been participating in. So I'm just going to run through some of these slides, kind of explain it a little bit so you can get a little bit of a grasp of what was going on and what some of the things we did. So just so you can experience it with us, because I really want you to capture it with us. When you see this visual, maybe it'll help you to really engage in what I'm going to ask you to do later. So go ahead. This is, like she said, a VBS. This is Renato and his family. I remember 3 years ago when we worked on his house. And then the Lord told me, said, okay, you need to go talk to Renato. And I went to him, and he doesn't go to church. His wife does. She's faithful. But he doesn't go because there's this gang rivalry there. And if you're from a different gang, you can't cross over to that territory without the consequences of being killed. Because once you get on a bus to even go there, they get on and they find where you're from. They look at your, you know, like a Dewey card is what it's called, but it's like our driver's license, and find where you're at. And they, you don't come back again. You come back again, you're dead. And that's, this is everyday threat for these guys. So at first he didn't come around because he had to cross that barrier. He's from his area's from a different gang than our where we live, so it was kind of like you got to be careful. So he didn't come for a long time. And so what I can do is go pick him up and bring him, and he can come in safely and go home safe because I'll take him home. And you'll see some pictures of that. But that developed this year that we started doing, and he came this whole summer. He was coming every day for afterward. And it was really joy. He's learning English, so I got to go to his home, help him learn the pronunciation of words and really get him grasping how to pronounce words and understand English. And then I challenged him. And I'll tell a little bit more of that, but I challenged him with another guy that came who's an evangelist. And when he came, we challenged him to be, okay, you can't go to church, but you have the Word of God. And God has called you to be the spiritual leader over this home. And you're to lead your family. So that was kind of, there's where how I embraced it. Whatever circumstance we're in, we try to embrace them to point them to the Word of God and then let God start pointing them to Jesus. But he's saved. And so it was like, okay, well, now here's your responsibility, bring your family. And he's really latched onto that, and he's reading the Word faithfully. So that's him and his family. Next one, this is Paula, a troubled young lady in the community. We built her house last year, and so as you can see, Paula's got nephews, I think, in that picture, and their mother died from cancer. She didn't live a very long life that we met her. We did 3 houses in that particular year, and hers was one, and there was some... we did hers the year after. The year before, we did her grandmother's. The lady that was sick, we did her house and then put a roof on her great-grandmother's house. So that was kind of some of the things that we do when we're there constructing. And so Paula, last year when we were about to leave, Paula came in and I had a plan. I was going to talk to all my interns, but God had a different plan. I talked to one intern kind of overseeing what we've just went through for the year, just kind of debriefing and get some pros and cons, kind of talk what can we do better and to inject in their lives. And, well, I only got to do one, and then as the next one came in, so did Paula, and then one lady after another, just kept rotating through, coming to talk to Norley to say goodbye. And so I just kind of backed off because that was a God moment. It's time to back off, let God do what he's fixing to do. And so do keep praying for Paula. Their marriage is in trouble. It's an abusive situation. We've been praying for her and working through that. How do you come alongside and help in the time of the storm, as Dan talked about? So we have come along. The kids are scholarshiped in the school. They go to private school right now. And so that's one other part that SHIP does. And so that's how we get all these people coming to our place to be able to disciple and mentor them in their relationship with Christ. Go ahead, next one. Here's a group that came from Oklahoma. And you can see Juan Carlos is next to the van and a few other the trippers at that time. The three interns on the right that were there the whole summer with us for the last 8 weeks. Go ahead. Here's another group that came from Grace Bible Church, and they were the second to last group, and so we're kind of going back from July, and then we'll go into the other two groups. So this is another group that came through the first week of July. Next one. This was kind of in the second group of Grace. They came the second week of June, a large group. This is a young adult class, and some families from Grace Bible came. The next one. This is us leaving to go down. So we're at the airport fixing to leave out, and this is our team for the summer. And some incredible young ladies, they literally gave their all. They were pulled in 15 different directions from each tripper to, because, you know, I told them, I said, what we're here for is to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. But mainly that means is we're going to go wash feet. And we're going to take the lowest job possible and exalt Christ in it. And say, because we're here to serve him. And so they took along that and grabbed a hold of it and served with all their heart and mind. And whatever we asked, Rachel, the Oriental, or not, I guess Asian, she goes to core school and graduated. She's in A&M, but she is fluent in Spanish. Well, Romero, when he got married, they had some mixed feelings about Juan Carlos doing the translating. Well, guess who got to translate the wedding? On the moment. We need you now. Here we go. So, again, that's what happens over there. In the moment, you can be challenged to do something and head in the direction that you didn't know you were headed. I mean, this was like 5 minutes before the wedding started. So, as you can see, we're very flexible because that's the word we use a lot. How many's been? We said flexibility. Remember that word because there's a lot of flexibility needed, or otherwise you're going to be a very frustrated person the whole trip because we come in and something changes and we're there and we're pulled here and then I'm like, okay, how do we get this back together somehow? And somehow God always managed to do it because it's not us. And as like I said, you can ask anybody who's been on a trip, the flexibility is the most important thing because God changes our direction quickly sometimes. Next. This is a small group, I think, came in January. Still some folks from here in the Bryan College Station area. Tommy, right there next to the lady. Carrie Beck is on the right. And then Tommy, he's been several times, and he's brought a couple of different groups of youth. He's a real neat guy. Just really can't thank God enough for bringing Tommy down there. Next. This is a time after we started building on the building, and you'll see a building structure that I put up. It was a metal roof that we put up for the first Grace group that was there, I think it was. And then afterward, we had this time of prayer. We just went in and just dedicated all to the Lord. The last day we were there, they had gone to the beach. We had communion, and we went, and we just went over the whole building, started praying over it. And every trip this summer, we went in and did the same time, praying over and let each group participate in the prayer time. Okay? The last group we were preparing, the men did the breakfast, and so this is my guys here. We were having a great time in the kitchen getting everything prepped and ready. Okay? Next. Here's me and Zach. He was my only guy for that trip, and so he and I hung out the rest of the trip pretty much of getting things done. We're running water line right here, and this building right here is where it used to house the orphanage, but now it's turning into a school. The orphanage downsized to a smaller group, and they moved to another section, and this building now is turning into a school for next year. It's got to be ready by October 15th to be ready to house the kids January 10th, I think, or somewhere in there, somewhere in the first part of January. Next. Here's me and Juan Carlos. He's my right-hand guy for construction. Juan has grown in the last 5 years. He's taken on responsibility there, built a bridge. I mean, him and David, it's just like they're in their early 20s, and it's just amazing to see how God has developed this young man. Next. This little girl, first time I met her, stole my heart. She was, I think, 2 years younger the first time I met her. And we went to look at putting a roof on their dad's house, their family. And so each time I go, this little girl comes, you know, she comes find me. She sees my car, the van. Her dad's always saying, "Mr. Leon, Mr. Leon." You know, and now she says my name. And we'd be back and forth. I'd say her name, she'd say mine. And so what a joy to be a part of their life. And her dad came to Christ 2 years ago, and I'm discipling him. Both of these guys, you know, the craziest thing, I don't speak Spanish enough to communicate. But God has brought people who speak English enough to where we communicate, and now I'm discipling and mentoring these guys to be the men of God and leading their families. And what a joy to see where God's going to take this young lady one day. He's got two older sons from another wife. They have another child. The wife and the daughter came to the United States and hasn't been back sick, so she kind of abandoned the family over there about 4 years ago. And so he remarried. And Genesis, it's also known Genesis, is her name. And so, joy for me. Adopted granddaughter. This is Norley's new dog that everybody kept saying, this is Norley's dog. Norley's always wanted a dog. And because we go to El Salvador, we don't have time for a dog here. So God graciously gave us, this is Boxy that turned into Charlie. The Americans named him Charlie. But his dad, his family had named him Boxy. So now Charlie hangs out at our place a lot. So he has been adopted by us, and he by both sides. Okay. This is a pastor's conference. I'd like to for Nakota to come in and just speak to this a little bit real quick. I asked him to come up and share with you because Nakota has gone twice to El Salvador. And he and his wife play a different role because you've seen the summer groups, and that's a whole dynamics of itself, and it's geared strictly towards ship. The other element that we are involved in is a guy, Darren Ely, here locally. I've met him 30 years ago, right when he got saved, and we bonded and then parted, and then God brought him back in my life about 4 years ago and reconnected, and he came to El Salvador seeing what God was doing. He's been mentoring Nakota for several years before Nakota came to our church, and he goes with him. It's on Frontline Ministries, and so that's another element to, because God told me, you know, not only the group right there at the orphanage, but then he said outside our walls that we're to reach the community. Then in the next year he said, Leon, I don't only want you to just think right here. I want you to think the third year I was there. He said, think beyond that. And I said, what's that, Lord? And he said, I want all of El Salvador. And I said, that's a tall order. How do you do that? And so God developed with Jaron coming that year, and then it developed to where we're now reaching pastors and the teaching them to teach their congregation. And so he brought the element of evangelism in real strongly, and then teaching from the Word. And now this is our second year. And so, Lakota, if you could come speak a little bit, I'd appreciate that.
Morning. Isn't Jesus awesome? So it was a privilege to go and be a part of what God is doing in El Salvador. Like Leon mentioned, the past 2 years, March of this year and May of last year. And that's a real privilege. It's just a privilege to be a child of God and to serve Him. I mean, wherever. So in El Salvador and here. So, like Leon mentioned, we hosted the pastors' conference, and that was really neat to see the pastors from different areas. And so, a testimony last time we went in last May, then at one of the churches, then a brother told my wife and me that we next time we came, we were going to have a baby. And so, when we came back this time, we did. Baby wasn't born yet, but so God is good. So I had the chance to share the gospel with a man after one of the services this year. So that was great. And he prayed with us, and God knows if he really trusted Christ. So I've been praying for him. His name was Raul. So anyway, I guess that's all I have.
Thank you. Lakota found out he was coming to do that about 5 minutes before service today. So I just said, you got the opportunity. I know you haven't been able to share, but I do want you to come and speak a little different, because it is different. You know, and I was like, how do you reach the whole El Salvador? And God started opening that up. Dean and Dan came that 1 year. We went to this little community and had a pastor's conference, and that was kind of, okay, where does it go from here? And God said, hold up, pull back. And I was like, and so it was like, your focus is here in this community. Stay focused. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And so now he's raised up the community there with the pastors. After we have the pastor's conference, we go out into different churches. We go out about 12 churches. So we have the pastor's conference on Saturday. Sunday we went to two churches, and they were about 75 miles away from each other. But it's about 75 miles to get one and then come back and then come back home that night. And so it was a long day Sunday. And then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Friday night is unique because it starts at 9 o'clock and goes to midnight. So these are things that were involved. Saturday we have two meetings again, depending on where the Lord leads. And then Sunday, another two meetings. Then Monday's kind of debriefing to leave for Tuesday. So it's kind of like, go back, talk to the pastor, what's it look like for next year, so we can kind of plan and be ready to come back. Where is God saying? And so that's another element of what we're doing. This year, we came up that we're going to be doing a pastor's conference. We did that. Afterward, we said we need a marriage conference. And so November, the first part of November, we're supposed to be down to do a marriage conference with Darren and his team. And so that's where God's led us. We didn't know we were going back this year, but that's the next element of what we would be doing there. And so just excited about what God has been doing for us in El Salvador. And, you know, guys, these things are only possible. And I remember the first thing I came back and I asked, you know, somebody said, what did God speak to you? What did God tell you? What would you share with us? And I came back and I said, wow, there's only one thing that I know. And I said, would you pray with me that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into this harvest? And that was after my first year 7 years ago. And since that time, God has answered that prayer, and multitude of folks are coming. Like I said, we got six teams this year. We had six teams last year. We had six teams the year before. And this is, when we're there, we're just being the hands and feet of Jesus, washing feet. directing, giving, you know, getting what they need to make it happen while they're there to experience, and tell them to be alert, be ready. God's at work. Watch where he's at work, because he's going to come from any direction that he desires. Be ready. Watch for him. And I remember telling our group in March that same thing. And the very first day we went to do the house, could you go ahead and roll through? I think we have, this is the picture of the house. This is our group. Late at night, we got back and we wanted to go and visit our brother before we left and take this picture. And this is at night when we're going into a community that normally, if you go in that community, you need to take and turn your lights off. They don't want you to have the lights on driving in. So here I'm trying to shine light so we can have see this house and take pictures. And so, again, these are some of the things that we realized. But God's grace was there, allowed us to get in. We took the picture. This is him and his wife. We gave him the keys to the house, and this is the house that our team built. And I met, while we were there, there was a man named German in English. And the very first day we went, and he saw the sign on our van, and it says that we help. And so he said, hey, I need help. I need you to come. And this guy's speaking English. And I remember Stella's dad, Frank, was there with me, and the group's going in. We're bringing our tools, getting ready to build this house. And so as we're doing that, he comes up, and he's telling me all these. And for, you know, we talked for quite some time. And I asked him, I said, do you go to church anywhere? You know, oh, no, I don't go to church. And I go, okay. And so that conversation turned into sharing the gospel with him, telling him that there's a God in heaven that loves him and wants him to know him. And he said, man, my life's really messed up. I said, man, it's like that's impossible. I mean, what we were talking was something totally foreign to him, because a man with that type of mindset is in darkness, and he can't receive what we were talking about. But we kept diligently pouring in. I think that same day after we came back for after lunch, and Charlotte was there, and she was speaking to him. And so each one of us got a little chance to speak to German. And I was concerned. I was burdened for him. I've been praying. And I had to, this is an elder in the church, and he gave the opportunity to find him and asked him to come to see me. And so he came, he and his wife, German and his wife. I met her for the first time. And he said, why do you want me? What did you ask me to come here for? And I said, well, I just want you to know I love you and that God loves you. And I presented the gospel just as clear and precise for the next 20, 30 minutes. And he said, well, my life's really messed up, and I need something different. And I could just see there was something he desired, but it still, it wasn't registering yet. And I said, Lord, I'd leave that to you. So I showed him around, and I drove and dropped him off at his home. And I haven't seen him since. But I just was, I ask you to pray for German. He's in a deep, in an area over there where there's a lot of gangs. And he's been to the United States. He speaks English again. Here's another guy. Like, wow, God, you keep reminding me of how these guys are speaking English. I remember the first time Dean and Charlotte, I think it was the first trip you made, and we were at the market with Sam. And there's this beggar in there, and he's, you know, following us. He just wants to, hey, man, let me carry your fruit, you know, so I can get some money, you know. And he's just following us around, and, you know, and I'm just asking to, it didn't register. How can this guy speak in English? He's kind of like, looked like a homeless bum walking around begging, and I'm like, what's the deal? And so he's following us from one end, and I mean, this market's huge, and we go from one end, and we're trying to catch up with Sam. We're coming back over here, and he said, just could you give me a nickel, a penny, a quarter, you know, anything? And, you know, and I just like, wow. And I remember reaching in my pocket, and I think I had a quarter and some change in there, and I just reached, and I put it in his hand, and then I started telling him about the love of God. And it just like the Spirit came on me in a way, I'm just like, wow. And I don't know, I don't know how long I talked. I just remember, it was like he looked me dead in the eye, and we just sat there, and I was telling him, and just speaking into his life, and then just sharing the gospel in a simple, just a very simple way, but telling, because he told me his mom and dad had died, and he was kind of orphaned, and his family's rejected him. And so I was able to speak into that. I said, well, there's a Father in heaven that loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, that you could be a part of his family, and he wants you to know that. And so you know, that's the opportunities we get when we go down there, just to be vulnerable, to go into a country that's gang-ridden, real risk. I remember Bethany last year when she was going to come, and or was it this year y'all went, or this year? And I was concerned because Zika, you know, or last year. Anyway, I had this concern about her going. I said, you know, mosquitoes, and just wanted to understand the risk. And she said, no, I'm supposed to go. And so, again, you know, we do see these risks, but there's this one thing that compels more than the risk. And that's what happened to me. The day that I stopped and answered the call, Jesus came and met me where I was in the lowest point of my life with no hope. I remember many times I'd drink, lost, with a shotgun in the hand, say, what's the purpose of living? Where's the hope? And my father reached down. He said, what about me? I said, who are you? What are you? Where are you? In that cry of desperation, the father reached down and showed me a man named Freddie who led me to him. 6 months I watched this guy and I was like, who is this guy? I seen him before. He was just like me. Was there something different in him? And when that father reached down, he said, are you ready to give your life to Christ? I said, man, I don't know what it is to give my life to Christ, but whatever you got, I got to have. I need it now. Because I was in desperation. But I've been watching you. There's something different about you. And that day I said, Lord, I don't know what Freddie's talking about, but can you come and change my life like that? Make me different. I remember going home and telling Norley, I said, I think I just received Jesus in my life. Because I really didn't understand what I just knew I was desperate. And that's the only thing that came close to God that I've seen in all my years. I was 26. So what is the one compelling thing that compels me to go? It's not about my life anymore. It's about the one who came and died on that cross for me. His name was Jesus. When he died, he bore my sins and traded me my place that I may have eternal life with him and with my Father. So when 2 Corinthians came up in 5 and said, I was a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. And then he told me what I was supposed to do. He said, I was reconciled to the Father through Jesus. And he said, this is your ministry. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Go and bring others and bring them to be reconciled through Jesus to the Father. Because the Father wants to have a relationship with them too. I was like, wow, how do you do that? Because I didn't get an education. I dropped out at 10th grade. When I was in 2nd grade, I hated reading because I flunked. There was a brand new bicycle waiting on me. Boy, and all I had to do was read that book. It was going to be mine. I was like, yeah. And I couldn't. And that just devastated me. And that plagued me for years. I was like, wow, man, there it was, that prize. And so through all the hardships of life, the pain and the suffering that I went through, it was all part of my Father's plan to prepare me for the work that I get to do. He bore the cross, took all that pain, all that suffering, that I may have life, have it abundantly. I didn't quite understand all that. But as I grew, and if you turn to James, I'm just going to make this brief because we're out of time. I was hoping to get to this sooner, but I told the Father whatever time he wanted, but I just wanted to read this briefly with you. Wow, Dan already had part of my sermon. I didn't even know earlier when he was sharing. But it all played the role. The song that y'all sang during the offering, I was like, wow, this all fits in. But just James chapter 1. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I just want to share with you, as I was looking at this, there's a whole lot more that I've got written on these papers that I hope one day to come back and share the completed story of what God brought into this message. But I gave you a glimpse of what the results of what happened. As these trials that came in my life, through various trials, and I didn't know how to answer them, even after I got saved. I remember 20 years in my marriage. It was 28 years. The first 8 years was a horrible time for my wife because I was a miserable, selfish, ambitious young man that didn't care about anybody but himself and wanted to please him. Then Christ came in, as you heard. And so the next 20 years, I'm trying to work all this out and crying out to the Lord. He's showing me things, and I'm trying to reach in and speak to this lady that I care about and love. And I remember I said, Lord, unless you intervene, this marriage is going to be over. And I thought, how can that be? How can I even think that or feel that? And I was hurting inside, and she was too. And we had a conference. There was a guy that was going to come and speak at our church, and I remember this was like November, and my pastor told me that. He said, he's coming in January. I said, I ain't got that long. I was like, you don't understand. It's now. And so I had to wait. I'm so grateful for what God did. This guy, what I've been trying to do for years, on that day, we went to counsel with him. And in a few moments, he was speaking to my wife's heart in a way that I'd desired for years and couldn't get there. But God opened the recesses of her heart, and she was able to pour her heart out for the first time and be so vulnerable. After that session, we made an appointment to go see a counselor, and God opened the recesses of both of our hearts and exposed us for the first time to each other that we've never been able to do. And all the trials and the pain of that suffering, here we were trying to manage life for 20 years and hoping for the hope that was coming. It was Jesus, but we hadn't arrived. We were trying. We were managing. We were in that storm many times with our kids, battling, going to people. How do you do it? Sitting on my floor crying out, God, what are you going to do? I need you now. Help me. I'm sinking. I'm drowning. How did you do this, Lord? You gave me all these promises, but where's, how's it work? I need you now. And through all that heartaches and trials, our Father met me in each situation. Some of us took time, as you see in November, like, you know, God, you got to do it now. But no, it was his time. And every moment that I suffered and agonized over this trial I was in, God met me. And because of that is why I go. He showed me a love that was far deeper than I understood, but he had to take me to the depths of myself. There were things inside that he was turning up the fire to get out. He wanted me to see what was really inside. And that was the first time that Norley and I were able to expose that for the first time to each other. And it was so deep and dark of pain that we had inside locked up, that we didn't know how to release. And then God allowed us to be released that day after that week. And it was such a beautiful time. And I remember it was like for the first time we could have intimacy in our marriage that we never experienced. And it was a great joy. In a short time, Satan came again. 13 years ago. And Shawnee flips a van. And I remember the call. Shawnee's been in an accident. It's pretty bad. And I remember telling the father that I was driving there. I said, Father, I don't know what bad looks like. There's one thing I've learned. You do. And there was a confidence in me that I knew my father knew before I arrived. And I rose to the Allen Academy, and I remember, man, must have been a bad one. Man, there's a lot of trucks and ambulances going, and man, it's like, man, siren after siren. Well, there were six, seven others in that van with my daughter. One suffered a wrist problem, I think, or something, and had some pins. The other one dislocated her shoulder, but she broke her neck and became paralyzed. So when I got there, and I remember the administrator's son met me, and he said, I don't know if Shawnee's going to make it, because she wasn't there. And I can promise you, my knees buckle, and you just knocked everything out of me. And I said, oh, Jesus. And it's like something lifted me. Because I was like that going down, and all of a sudden I was upright. I was like, because the paramedic was grabbing me. You're okay. He was reaching. And then all of a sudden I was back just in a moment. God was there. Walked me through that. Just as you're arriving, excelling, trying to go through life, and you know, you get that moment, you got this, man, it's really great. Norley was at the store planning something we had planned for that evening, and bam, here comes Satan on the other track. And it seemed like they both arriving at the same time, and our world's flipping back upside down again. But we were at a good place for the first time. And we've been walking that for the last 13 years. And I can tell you there's so many things I learned in that storm. And that's why it says, count it all joy. That joy is something that I have resonating in me. I can count it joy. It's for the things that brought me closer to my Father is the reason why. And I know, as Dan said, you've got storms. I've been there in some storms. But I know a Father who's already in the storm with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Remember this death, burial, and resurrected life, because Jesus has given us the resurrected life. But he has to take us through the storms of life that he can take us and have the risen Savior inside of us living this life that others can be drawn to him, because we are the light of the world. Not to be hidden, but one to be lifted up to bring glory to his name. He is the only one worthy, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. I want to thank you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this message that you had. I thank you for the work you're doing in El Salvador, and I thank you for the work you are doing in me and completing me each and every day. I know, as Paul, when I read it the first time, he said, you know, I haven't arrived, but I keep my eye on the mark, and I keep pressing on. And when I first read it, I said, man, this dude has arrived. How can he say that? But I can humbly say, I haven't arrived. But I keep pressing on for the mark that you set before me, to hold on for that prize. And I'm grateful for it. For each one that's in here today, Father, I pray that you will take the message and speak into their hearts, just as you've spoken in mine so many times before. Letting them know that you're in the midst of it with them. And it's okay to cry and feel broken and feel cheated and all the things that our emotions will take us. But the truth is, your word is alive, and we can stand on that truth and the promise, because they are ours in you. Thank you for this resurrected life you've given in me. I praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Leon, for sharing your beautiful testimony.